Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, this is Cherokee Billy, and welcome to the Sacred Path Radio Program. And we've got a special program today. Joining me is my faithful companion, Ray. Hi, Ray, how are you today? I know you're there. All right, I don't know where Ray is, but I can hear him. Anyway, joining me today, I'm very thrilled and honored to have Michael Devon, a bass guitarist of Whitesnake and the Dead Daisies, here with us today. So, hello, Michael.
Hello, Billy. Can you hear me all right?
Yeah, I hear you just fine. And I'm so
great.
Glad you took time out of your busy schedule to join us today, because I think a lot of people don't get how much music can play into your spiritual life. When I was thinking about it, and I'm not an expert at all on music, but, you know, probably the first instrument would have been a drum in my thoughts. You probably know more than I.
Well, that's a good guess, and I would probably guess the same. I think rhythm was born first, most likely.
You know, and like with Native Americans, they dance to that beat of the drum. You know, they definitely use the drum. But what would you like to infuse here? Because I know that through your path as being in one of the major rock groups, that you have come a long ways on how you do your performance in terms of what you do to prepare yourself spiritually, things like that. You want to share something on that?
Yeah, I can talk about that. I preface that with I'm no master at these things. I'm just kind of figuring out as I go along through my life what works for me, what seems to be more beneficial. But what a huge topic: music, spirituality.
Yes, very.
Yeah, it's a pretty broad.
Well, you know, it doesn't matter what spirituality, religion, whatever it is, everyone uses music, right?
Everyone uses music. Everywhere, even outside of, even in the, as you would, we'd say, I guess, the secular world, even in everyday life, you get into an elevator, there's some music piped in. You go to the grocery store, there's some music. When you're waiting in a dentist office to get your teeth cleaned, usually there's some kind of radio on or music going.
Because it's a lot
of power. I think
there's
some kind of
to it.
Yeah, I think there's some kind of somebody has a quote. I can't quote it, but you know, it touches upon the idea that if we removed all of the music from life, every note of it, in every capacity, we would all go mad eventually, and I think that's true. I think we would go mad rather quickly. It's where music is being played and where it's present, where we don't acknowledge it, really, that's more important than, attending a concert or sitting and listening where it has your full attention. I think whether people want to, admit it or not, it doesn't matter. The reality is that music frequency, tone, has an effect on humans physiologically, psychologically, spiritually, otherwise. It's just a fact. It affects your heart rate. There's certain music that is used to help quell seizures. I think listening to Mozart sonatas is good for seizures with epilepsy, So we're talking about vibrational energy, right? I mean, that's essentially what we're talking about when we are referring to music. It's a language in itself. It's a simple language in a sense, because it's really only seven, notes, characters, intervals, whatever you want to, however you want to say it, that repeats itself. And then you've got your accidentals, sharps and flats, according to those seven. But really, we're all using, whether you're Mozart or Eddie Van Halen, we're all using the same notes, the same language. They haven't changed. Maybe the overall tuning and the temperament has changed over the centuries. But
Gosh, yes.
Yeah, but we are still ultimately dealing with the same language. And
I want to impose here. Wait one second about language. Music speaks louder than words, and it's the only language that people listen to. And I know you travel the world so many times touring that I have found if I'm in other countries or something, if I can't speak the language, if I hum a few bars, like say of the Beatles song or something, the person will start singing it with me. You know, you consume
right.
it. You know what I mean? I know you've experienced
right.
these things probably
yeah.
yourself.
That's
how powerful music is.
Absolutely. And it's like, what a testament to some of those melodies, right? Like the Beatles, whom I love, but like, that's a global, you know, those melodies have hit every corner of the world for
the
most
planet.
Part, you know?
Yeah.
yeah. And you know, there are very few artists and composers who have done that. But yeah, you're absolutely right.
And I don't know if you know this or not, but you know, NASA has satellites way, way out there in space, and they beam signals out there trying to see if they can contact other life forms. And the message they're sending out is the song Across the Universe by the Beatles. That's what's played.
Right. Right. Yeah. I have heard that.
Yeah. And that's
basic.
You know, you think about, gosh, the Beatles are even out way out there in outer space. Oh, I don't know if Ray's here or not. Ray, are you there?
John Lennon would love that.
Yes. I'm sure wherever he is, he does love it.
Yeah.
I'm sure, you know, anyway, let's get back to what you do, because I've known you quite a few years and I've seen your spirituality evolve so much, and it really has. You know, you're at such a great level that I wish everyone was at. And I know that when you play these large concerts, you're sending out that light of love of God. Am I correct?
Yeah. Yes, I will get candid here, because not something I really talk about, because, well, I mean, why would I?
Well, you're doing
hardcore
rock and roll.
Yeah.
You know,
it definitely
isn't there.
Yeah, and, you know, this is all, you know, I still feel like, you know, when someone comes to know God, for lack of a better term, you know, you're kind of going beyond your faith and you're getting into areas where you have experience with that interaction. Not everybody has these experiences, I realize. So it's not for me to say, hey, look, this is, you know, this is how you do it, because I don't know how you do it. I'm just sort of stumbling along on my own path here, trying to come to some kind of a genuine, authentic, communicative relationship with my creator. And so I have the ability to play music, which I'm grateful for, and I have the opportunity to do it in front of people. And sometimes very, very large groups of people, and that's pretty powerful stuff. So, you know, for my own backstory, you know, I grew up, you know, in New England area. Grew up, you know, in a region where like drinking and drugging and rock and roll were all synonymous, and you didn't do one without the other, pretty much, you know. I mean, that's kind of how I grew up. I grew up in the 80s and 90s when this was all, everything was popping on all cylinders on MTV, and, you know, and the teenage culture, you know. So I came up as a musician, you know, as a as someone who would numb himself, you know, before going on a stage, which worked for me for a long time, I'd say, for quite a while. It it served its purpose. I think it helped me overcome shyness and some stage anxieties and things like this. But what, long story short, you know, at some point it got in the way, and it wasn't working for me. So I figured I would try to play a concert straight, you know, which wasn't easy at first by any means. I was like a fish out of water. I didn't really know where to put myself or really what to do up there, because I guess when I was buzzed, it makes the job feel that much more challenging. But when you're not buzzed, it's like, oh, okay, so this is, I've got the mechanics down. Where am I putting my brain? Where am I putting my thoughts? You know, where am I putting my energy? And again, right, a teacher taught me about energy, frequency, and vibration, and, you know, that stuck with me. And we are all vibrating bodies, everything. So if I'm up there on a stage, you know, yeah, I have an instrument in my hand that is creating or emitting frequency as part of a group, which is emitting its frequency. The audience, which is emitting a frequency or frequencies, is there to absorb. And frequencies, you know, they've got two choices. They're going to absorb or they're going to reflect. So there's this absorption, and there's a symbiosis that takes place between a musician and the audience. And for me, I found that it was more than just the music I was playing. It was the thoughts that were in my head, thoughts of things. They also travel. So what am I thinking about? Where is my head at? Where's my heart at? And can I utilize this in any way? Can I affect a change in this crowd, even for 2 hours or 3 hours or whatever, by the thoughts I'm thinking and the love that I'm putting out, besides what's going on with my instrument? It's all connected, but at the same time, I put my mind somewhere that in a good place. You know, before I go on stage, I have a series of, you know, I don't know if I call them rituals or whatever, but just things I do to get myself in that state. You know, a rhythmic kind of state, because
yeah,
that's really where these things start to begin. It's just like looking at, you know, some of the tribal dances, say, of, you know, if you go to, you know, say, like, South Africa, you know, some of the, like, take the Zulu nation, they've got some of the oldest dances, you know, in recorded history that we can observe, and these are just long rhythmic drumming, you know, very physical dancing that puts these people in a trance. And they hallucinate, they have visions, they communicate with the dead, they communicate with Creator, and they bring back, or, you know, they kind of channel through them information that they wouldn't have otherwise, which I find very interesting. So, you know, that rhythm, that repetition, that heartbeat is there to open up some channels, you know. I think that's the same with rock and roll.
What you're
music.
Talking about, one second, what you're saying about, you know, the South African tribes, you know, again, back to Native Americans, you know, who knows how long the culture was here, you know, it's not been recorded, but look at what they would do, like the same thing, getting messages, visions, etc., all coming through, and usually through the shaman. But it would be definitely through music that they do it.
Absolutely. Sorry. I mean, no, it's absolutely true. Like Native American drum circles. I mean, that's very historically, you know, very significant for all of the tribes, cultures of the Native American people, you know, and we're talking about, you know, centuries old, you know, circles, right? Like these things have been going on for centuries. So,
absolutely,
and that's vital in their culture, right? So we in the West sort of have a version of that, I think. It's just our version is far more, we lean on the entertainment aspect of it, you know. It's not it's not entirely spiritual. It's, you know, we dress up.
Yeah, more the entertainment. You
know, yeah, it's more the entertainment factor. But that's not to say that you can't, through the entertainment, you can't utilize some of these things and affect some change that way, you know. But, well, yeah?
Oh, I was just going to say.
Ray, you're there.
Yeah,
I've asked
hello,
several
Ray.
Times.
Yeah.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello, Ray.
Hello. I was going to add that's what I had, the Sweat Lodges. There was a song quite a number of years ago. The song, I can't remember the technical name, but the song remembers when. And, I mean, it takes you to places where the song plays and you say, hey, I was Midway Island or Colorado or wherever the case may be. And the song remembers when. You remember who you were with and what you were doing and everything else. So, yeah, the music, you know, it brings out it brings out good. I mean, it can be hurtful at times, but as a rule, I know me, I hear certain songs, I see me dancing or whatever the case may be. But, yeah, it you know, I wouldn't see it if I didn't hear the song. So yeah, the song just it clicks in your head and goes from there, and just, you know, I end up smiling a lot. After I think about it, I start hurting, but it's a smile, you know, that goes on, that you know, it's the music that makes you smile.
Well, you
Absolutely.
Know, you think all religions, I don't care what religion it is, they always have music, and they always start with music. So obviously music invokes the spiritual coming in somehow, some way. And it's all religions, all whatever you want to call them, if it's not religion, whatever it may be, spirituality, everyone uses music.
Yeah, everyone uses music.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, and it's so powerful. But I know that over the years, like you were saying about how you managed to play without the help of, you know, drugs, you know, that also you've developed. I know that you work on making sure that the energy you send out is very positive. I know you consciously do that as well as spiritually when you're going to perform, and I think that's so important.
Well, that's something you and I have talked about, you know, over the years. And, you know, it's a visualization technique that I employ, which I see the audience and, you know, I invite I visualize anyway, light, you know, above them, you know, a pure light, a blue light, and, you know, is it effective? I couldn't tell you, but is it, you know, for my own benefit? I don't do it for my own benefit, but maybe it's just, you know, maybe I'm the only one who's having experience with it, but regardless of
that, I think
it
still affects people because, you know, you're putting that energy out there and somehow, some way, you know, it doesn't matter if they don't suddenly, you know, have a connection to God or whatever, they still maybe come out feeling different, lighthearted, you know, whatever it may be. And that is
right.
a big thing. You know, you've got the power with music to change how someone feels. That's pretty darn impressive.
Well, you know, it's like I think that whether or not somebody believes in God or creator is, I mean, I wouldn't, maybe irrelevant's not the word, but it, in a sense, like, you know, there are sea creatures down at the bottom of the ocean that man has yet to identify. Does that mean that they don't exist? You know, do they only exist when
exactly.
we identify them? No, they don't. They still exist. They're still living their lives down there. And I think the same is true for the creator. Whether or not you believe or acknowledge or have any kind of experience in knowing the creator, that's irrelevant to the fact that the creator is still present. And, you know, everybody will have their day. Everybody will have their lifetime. Everybody will have their moment when they have an experience that solidifies that relationship, and it becomes authentic. It becomes something more than just, you know, the rote of going to, say, a church and, you know, genuflecting and standing and sitting and standing and sitting. And most people who do this, they're staring at the wall waiting for that 45 minutes to end. You know, that's not
yeah.
the same thing, you know, and that's not to, you know, diminish what that is, because for a lot of people, that's enough. You know, for a lot of people,
that works
the
for
cup.
Them.
Yeah, it's their cup is filled, and that's cool. It wasn't enough for me. It was never enough for me. And I mean, I speak as somebody who, like I said, I'm a New Englander with Irish, Italian, Catholic, you know, lineage and Catholic school experience, and you know, altar boy and all those things. And
you and
know,
Ray have a lot common there.
But,
I was going to say that sounds like me, except not Irish and Italian.
So
you both grew up with that.
And I'm glad I did, because that was a good backdrop for me to sort of, you know, figure out what all of this, you know, God stuff means and what resonates and what doesn't. What's the truth? It's really all I'm after. You know, I'm not really looking to start a new religion or to insist God is this way or God is that way. I find such a singular kind of solitary experience in coming to know God that I would never impose my viewpoints on anybody. I don't, I'm in as much in the dark as a human being with my limited, you know, sensory, you know, observational skills as everybody else. You know, God is the biggest mystery for humankind, you know. It's a very sticky surface, you know.
If you get into religion. But if people would just take the essence of spirituality, that is exploring what is there, be it God, angels, whoever, you know, if they just could look at it that way and say, hey, I want to know what it is and touch base with the creator, whatever it may be, the angels, they may be surprised at what they may find. If you can let yourself go. You know, faith is a very difficult thing. It really is. And you have, you know, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So it isn't easy to have faith. But once you get faith, it's hard to shake it.
Absolutely. And then there comes a point where I think that a person can go beyond faith, where the faith is no longer necessary. I don't have to have a blind faith in the creator, because I've had experiences at this point where I know And it's really, again, it's a singular thing. I know. I don't need somebody to tell me whether or not I'm right or wrong in my knowledge. I know that there is a God. And now how I define God and all the rest of it, that just gets into language gobbledygook. But whatever it is for me personally, like, I know there's a God, and that's beyond my faith at that point. I don't have to have the faith because I have the knowledge. I have the experience. So I kind of exist in that realm, and you know, and I'm cool with that. I keep on with it, you know, with including that relationship into all my life experiences, you know. But I don't have any problem with atheist friends of mine, or whatever the label you want to, however we want to refer to them, people who don't believe in God. You know, I have many friends who, when we get into these conversations, they just flat out say, I think when you die, it's just black. That's an interesting, I mean, I could not fathom that. I cannot fathom that because of my own life experiences. My own life path. Like, there's been so much that has proven otherwise for me that there is life
beyond. I think
beyond,
between the three of us here, you, me, Ray, we all had experiences with people who have passed on. We've had too many experiences not to believe. It's impossible.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe there was a lifetime where I was that, and I did believe that. I thought it was just blackness, but I think you know what you believe is what will be reflected, because your mind is, you know, not your own.
Very powerful.
You have your own thoughts, but you also have the thoughts of the collective mind. You know, we call it the hive mind these days, but, you know, we have the mind, essentially the mind of God, the mind that is outside of your own brain. And, you know, that veil from life to death is subtle, and when you cross over, you're still in that mind. You're still part of that mind. So if you believe you're going to see, you know, St. Peter and pearly gates and these things, you will probably have that experience. Now, if that experience is not authentic, because that's really what I think is the most powerful frequency in life, is authenticity. I think it's more powerful than love, is because love requires authenticity in order for it to be effective and powerful and real. It's got to be real love. So if it's not authentic on the other side of the veil, then in time, that whatever time is gone at that point, but in time, that soul will, things will start to reveal themselves slowly to that soul body that has left, and they say, oh, I guess there's not much substance to these pearly gates. Maybe they're not, what else is there? Maybe this isn't the end stop. But you are, I believe anyway, that you are afforded that opportunity to land softly on the other side of death with whatever it is that you believe in and that you hold on to. 'Cause
I agree.
You know, I think the Creator is pure, authentic love, and it's not going to smash you upside your soul head going like, nope, that's not it, it's this, you know. But if you are somebody who has been, you know, exploring and going within and finding your truth and getting as close as you can to the absolute truth authentically, then you may be in for quite a ride when you leave this plane of existence. And
Very true.
You go off to the other side and you see what it's truly made of. And,
got to interrupt here for a second. We're down to just like 30 seconds here. Sorry, Michael. But, you know, you're saying things that are really powerful and very true. And maybe we can do another program in the future, you know, and have you on, because it's definitely a blessing. And, you know, you're getting people to listen that might not have listened before. And I thank you for that. And, Ray, I thank you for being here today. I had a lot of trouble connecting you in. I don't know why, but I'm glad you're here.
I didn't use the right password.
Ah, okay. Anyway, whatever.
For life.
Yes. Well, anyway, this is it, and I thank everyone who's listening now and in the future, and everybody be blessed, and thank you very much.
Thanks, Billy. Keep up the great work.
Trying.